B-Pod Studios.
Straightforward.
You lose too, big boy.
No holds barred.
I'm starting to think this guy's a con man.
Sports talk.
I got it. All right, I got it.
Felger and Maz, 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Here's third and four with Rodgers. Calmly retreating, looking for something. Flag is down as he throws to the end zone. Incomplete.
Illegal use of hands, hands to the face. Defense. Where?
That's on the left shoulder once again. On the left shoulder.
Two illegal hands to the face penalties in the second half for Trey Flowers.
And it shouldn't have been called tonight. Let's make sure we let America know that that's twice. The first time it cost them a sack. This time it cost them the game. When blown calls, when blatant calls cost teams football games, that's where we as players, the coaches, and even the fans in America, if we can see it, the officials should be able to see that. And I think that's why we're all a little bit disgruntled.
All right, fans of America, let's get into this. It's a big boy Tuesday. Greg Bedard here, the Boston Sports Journal and the Las Vegas Review Journal.
Correct.
Alongside Maz Murray, fellas.
Good, you?
Hey. Just Peachy here from our Town Fair Tire Studios. Who wants to start? Murray, do you have Pavel Bure over there? Do you want to start?
Yeah, I mean, there should be a public shaming for Al Riveron and the refs in the NFL. We should be able to yell at them in the streets, throw tomatoes at them. They should be shamed. They should be publicly shamed because they're ruining the league. And I know yesterday you said this has more to do with the owners in the competition committee. Fine, but that last night was, I mean, it was just shady is what it was. It was laughably bad. It's ruining the sport. It's making it unwatchable. It makes you feel like someone's on the take, and it's not on the level. And I'm not going to go as far as Hardy did, because he's a Lions fan, so I can understand why he's extremely mad at this, because it always feels like in the biggest moments, that team does seemingly get screwed time and again by the officials. But that really was just bad last night. It's a bad look for the league. It's a bad look for professional sports. It kind of, like, at the risk of sounding corny, it kind of hurts my soul, because I'm like, you know, like, you got me over a barrel. The NFL is my favorite product. They keep watering it down. But after that last night, like, you're trying to push me away. You're trying to lose someone like me, because that's just egregious. There's no excuse for that. Whether it's Riveron, the owners, you can't have that. You can't have what happened in Green Bay last night to the Detroit Lions with those two fake hands-to-the-face calls on Trey Flowers, which didn't happen. They weren't hands-to-the-face. It was a phantom call. One will happen every so often. You had the Tim Tashita phantom call in 99 against the Red Sox. I broke my remote. I lost my mind like a lot of people. But that's 20 years ago. Two in a matter of like 10 minutes? It just makes you feel like someone's getting paid. Someone got paid off. This is not. I can't believe what I'm watching, because this seems fake.
I mean, to me, it was the second one. Like, because I think Murray's onto something. It's like, okay, they blew the first one. None of us like it. It happens. The same guy, the same play, the same call, and they blow it again? Like, how do you explain that other than incompetence or ineptitude?
I mean, you saw that flag, didn't you think, well, it's a hold. It's a hold, right? Because of where it was thrown. When they called that, I was like, you got to be kidding me. What? If I was a Lions fan, I would have broke my television. I would have sounded as angry as Hardy rightfully did today. I can't believe that.
I mean, it was, you know, boy, the Packers got a horseshoe jammed up there, don't they? Big boy?
Well, a couple different things. Number one, I understand. Look, these referees are given a different 18 points of emphasis every single offseason. Or, you know, it's either a new rule or new review or this or that. On those plays, if you look at it just in real time, the way they officiate the games, not in slow motion, The coaching point for the officials is, does the head get jerked back? They see that, they throw the flag. That's the way they're taught. Okay, so that's number one. Number two, the first penalty, I actually think Flowers hit the guy's face mask on the way down. So I could see, and nobody talked about that, Booger didn't talk about it, but I saw contact with the face mask initially when Flowers went to get his hand on Bakhtiari's chest. And number three, I don't want to hear the Lions bitching about calls when you kick five field goals in a game at Lambeau Field. Score a touchdown. You win the game. So shut up. I don't want to hear the bitching about the calls. I don't. Sorry, Hardy. I don't want to hear it.
Okay, so really two separate things there, right? One is that one concerns the outcome of the game and the magnitude of the plays and the officiating in general. I'm happy to dump on the Lions if someone wants me to. Because, again, how many opportunities are you going to have? That first half, that game should have been about 24-6 at one point, and it was basically a tie game, 13-13 or whatever the hell it was. Like you know, to me, the Lions had every chance, especially early, to blow doors and put that game away. So that part is true. Doesn't mean the officiating was any good.
That's fine. But, like, can we just talk about, you know, the Lions and Matt Patricia? Like, you are playing Aaron Rodgers at Lambeau Field. You know they're coming back. Like, you need to get a touchdown on that drive, and they go four plays, and they get 8 yards. Like, I mean, what do you think's going to happen? Of course he's going to come down and score. And even if that holding, was that third down the last one? So it would have been a long field goal.
No, so it would have been. I mean, I got a million thoughts, but one there is Booger McFarland say it cost him the game.
Yeah.
They were at the 16-yard line. So if there's no flag there, if they just didn't call hands to the face, it's incomplete, and Crosby's lining up for a 34-yard field goal. Okay, so odds are he's going to make that. Now the Lions have a minute and 30 left, no timeouts. Easily they could go down, and the way Prater was kicking, they could have won that game. But to say it cost them the game is taking a major leap. I mean, you've got to assume now that with no timeouts and a buck 30, that Stafford and the Lions are going to move into field goal range and Prater's going to make the kick. Odds are he was going to make it. What are the odds that they would address? So to say that it cost you the game is that last call. I think Booger got a little ahead of himself.
I mean, you know, I sort of equate it, though, to the combination of the two. One leads to a touchdown. Give him 10 points.
So the first one, well, I mean, the first one gave the Packers a second chance, but they made a hell of a play to score a touchdown. And that was a heck of a catch that kid made, you know, at the pylon there. So, I mean, I don't know. To say it cost him the game, that's a game that could have gone either way, and the calls went to the Patriots. I mean, excuse me, to the Packers. But that last one did not cost him the game. You know, Stafford would have had to lead him down into field goal range, and Prater would have had to make the kick.
Correct. And also, do you realize, I mean, look, the officials called let them run out the clock. But the Packers got the ball with 6:46 left in the fourth quarter. And they didn't. They went first down, second down, first down. They didn't face a third down until 1:45 left in the game. Play some defense. Get them to third down. Get them into third and long. Blitz once in a while, Matt Patricia. Like, those calls did not cost them the game. Were some of them egregious? Yes, but it didn't cost them the game.
So, Murray, I still do go back to the league and the competition committee and the owners. So, I mean, let's just say that ref is incompetent and Al Riveron's incompetent, which they fully might be. Or they are. Let's just say they are. Fire them. So, fine, fire them. Get someone better. Are you? Are you going to find someone better?
No.
I mean, was that game any more egregiously ref than the games that we watch on a weekly basis, on a daily basis?
Not this year.
No. Recently, as replays increased and we look at more plays, the calls get worse because we're looking at it more. And it's just the whole microscope of the way replay has taken us.
Yeah, but in a scale of 1 to 100, with 100 being the worst, that was 100. I've seen like 89s, 90s, 95s. That was, I mean, again, it felt like this was a bag job. That's what that felt like last night. So, okay, they're ultimately at fault. But I am drastic, and I want blood. I want heads to roll.
So roll them.
Yeah, someone got to get fired.
So roll them, fire them. I'm telling you, the next guy's not going to be any better. It's all the same. That was just another modern NFL football game to me. It wasn't. One team benefited over the other. Of course, the Packers benefited from that. But when I look at the egregiousness of the calls or the ticky-tack nature of the calls, I could point to any manner of game. So I go back to the league, and what Bedard said is that they put 18 points of emphasis in these guys' heads every single year. Illegal hands to the face is up 36% over last year. It's up over 230% over 10 years ago. Is that the refs? No, it's the league and those coaches saying this has become a problem. Let's emphasize this. The refs are told to throw that flag. And so Bakhtiara flops, basically. He's kicking his head back to get that call. And the refs making the call. But it starts with the emphasis. If there was no emphasis on it, they're not calling that.
Correct. And along the same lines of this being the NFL's fault, I mean, there's a couple different things here at play. And I think I wrote about this when I was at the Globe, for crying out loud, about how this day of reckoning with officiating was coming for a couple different reasons. Number one, they got a new CBA with the officials about, I don't know, 5-6 years ago. They just re-upped one. but it was going to force a lot of NFL officials to take early retirement. And then you had the move towards full-time officials, which drove a bunch of these guys out. And the other thing is, until you want to match, until you take it seriously and actually want to take a little bit of money out of your own pocket, and I'm talking to the NFL owners, and match the TV money with what some of these guys are getting. I mean, the reason that you don't have Blandino still where he is, or
Austin, or
Pereira,
or
whoever,
guys, right?
Yes, why they're all going, because they're offering more money to work less and things like that, and you're not paying them enough.
So those are the white hats, which is a little different. I mean, it was the ump that threw the flag on Trey Flowers. So, I mean, it would certainly help if those guys were back on the field versus the booth. I agree.
Yeah, because everybody gets put down a level.
But I'm just telling you, when they get in the offseason, the competition committee says we're going to look at this, that, yep, this, and that. Then the refs go into the year and say, okay, they want us to throw flags for this, that, this, and that. And then they end up throwing flags for this, that, this, and that. And everyone loses their mind. But it goes back to the it's up 230% from 10 years ago, hands to the face. That is not, that's because they told them to do it.
Yep.
And I would even go so far as say the second one on Trey, the second one, you could look at Trey Flowers and say,
what are you doing? You just got called for this.
Trey, yep, dude, they're calling it.
And right? It is, see, the neck area too.
And by the way, Bakhtiari got you on the first one. Okay. He's selling it because he knows that ump is standing right there. He knows he called it just the series before.
Sure.
He knows he's looking for it. So you don't need to clasp the top of his shoulder pads when you know the ump's looking. So, like, part of it's on the defender there because they're calling it, man.
I know. So, look, I look at it the other way. As the official called the first one, and it was sketchy. So, you know, you're going to call it again right away on the same guy? Like, I look at it as the official could do the same thing you said Flowers should do. How about we let that one go?
Of course.
How about we let that one go? Okay, the other thing is, as I think about it out loud, you know what? The level of frustration with the officials has gone up so much, and I think a lot of it still has to do with that stupid pass interference rule. That the fact that people are so mystified as to what that thing is, and I'm not, but I think most people are, that there's a frustration level there to begin with, and now every call is getting scrutinized.
So there was a late PI on the Packers that should have been called, and it wasn't called on the field. Patricia could throw the flag, and you'd see on replay that clearly the Green Bay Packers defensive back swept his arm across the receiver on that deep ball before the ball got there. It's clearly pass interference. It should clearly be reversed, except that coaches are something like 0 for 27 throwing challenge flags on defensive pass interference. They're not reversing it. So that makes fans want to rip their hair out, which is I predicted for you. I said fans wouldn't be able to handle this thing, and we're not. But to me, it all goes back to replay, and everything is looked, and you were just circumcising the mosquito on every single play, and the expectation of replay and the slippery slope of replay has us looking at every damn thing, and now it's just, and none of us can handle it. And who could? Where in the past, blown call's a blown call. Everything is not dissected to the last.
Keep playing.
You know, just let them play. Keep playing. It's, you know, but now it just doesn't work that way.
In fact, in a lot of ways, it was a test of your team's toughness. Right? It was, hey, you're going to get bad calls. Play through it. It's going to happen to everybody. You might get it worse one day than someone else, but play through it.
Well, we've been telling you, this hands to the face penalty, it's like a fungus across the league. It's a scourge. And boy, did it come up last night. Big time. Your thoughts right after this.
This is Felger and Mass
on 98.5.
The Sports.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.
Listening to Felger and Mass.
Doesn't always have to be ha ha hee hee.
Oh, love it.
98.5, the Sports Hub.
Prescott's got over the middle, incomplete flag. Through the hands of Gallup, but he was being pushed through the back. Pass interference on New York.
I'm not sure if Darrell Roberts committed pass interference.
Oh, be quiet. Push down. All you Jerseyites, be quiet.
This flag came out immediately.
Yeah, I mean, it was obvious.
Didn't look like there was much contact there at all.
Prescott in the gun. Snap comes back. Throws it out. Caught. Flag in the secondary.
Illegal contact.
Prescott deep down the left side for Zeke. Wheel route. Ball is incomplete. Two flags come out.
Zeke Elliott may have drawn another pass interference on the Jets.
That's 24 on that PI. It's the third straight defensive penalty. The Jets are helping out here.
Back to throw as Prescott throws it over the middle. Flag down in the offensive backfield. Let's check this penalty.
Holding.
So now one of the flags goes the Jets' way.
Snap back to Prescott. Fakes a screen right. Comes screen left. Down to the 20, Elliott. Flag comes in as he is tackled at the 16.
The officiating crew has now taken the game over. It seems like there's a flag on every play.
Prescott in the gun. He throws it deep down the middle, and that's the pass interference.
Wow.
On Witten against Jamal Adams. And he just got there early, came through Witten's back.
And they're going to say this is a penalty on Jamal Adams. It'll be a first down for the Cowboys. Very iffy.
I mean, he did.
And that was that mind-numbing sequence from Sunday afternoon. Jets, Cowboys. Drive inside of 2 minutes. Game on the line. Six straight plays. Six straight penalties. Yes, the refs suck. Yes, Al Riveron sucks. Yeah, got it. Do you think that's Al Riveron and the refs? No, that's the league telling the refs to clamp down on this, that, and the other. So now they're throwing flags for this, that, and the other. And that's what you get. And it is amazing that the owners gave in to the coaches on all that stuff. Because the owners don't give two poops. They just want a good product and to make money. They should tell the coaches to go pound sand.
Well, and really, it's even beyond that, right? They want to ignore a lot of the stuff that's going to bog the game down because it hurts the product. Like, it's not even that they don't care. They don't want it. That's the part I don't get. Why?
Okay, so your reaction is promised.
But, Mike, just quickly, Let's not completely dismiss the incompetence of the refs.
Sure.
Right? I mean, I understand that that's always going to be there to a degree. But it doesn't mean that they're exempt from blame.
I just think the way they want him to call, it's impossible. I keep saying the way they want the NBA refs to call, it's impossible. It's impossible. It ain't going to, you know, so I mean, like, I sort of give the on-field guys a little bit of a break. I think the standard is, I think what they're expecting from them is ridiculous. It's too fast. They're too big. There's penalties on every play. You know, the only solution is to tell them to let them go. Let them play. But that was egregious. That wasn't good last night. Martin on the Cape, lead us off.
Mike, for starters, the initial Lions touchdown didn't look like a touchdown.
I agree with you.
His helmet barely crossed the plane. The ball really wasn't there. I mean, I'm getting bummed out and ticked off watching this product. Awful calls and non-calls. And I just wanted to thank that NFL Nostradamus over there at the desk for that golden lock under on the Pats game last Thursday.
Murray.
Yeah, my bad, man.
I'm still on you for that.
That rain never came.
That first Detroit touchdown on 4th and 1, I thought he was short too. But in a non-replay environment, like you just sort of say, yeah, they called him in. One guy had him in. The other guy didn't. It's close. Move on. Which is kind of what happened last night in the game. But if we're going to circumcise the mosquito and look at the thing, I don't think he got in.
I mean, and in the replay environment, it was, I thought, in a lot of ways more controversial. Because whatever they called on the field was going to stay. Because the replay didn't tell you. I didn't think he'd get in either, but the replay was inconclusive. So if they had called no touchdown, it would have stayed no touchdown.
How about the late reception by the Detroit running back that was reversed on review where he caught it, sort of slid out of his hands as he was going out of bounds? Did you all see this?
No.
Yep.
I thought
it was not a catch immediately. So even though the, who was it, John Perry in the booth,
he
was
changed, like,
he can't change himself twice.
He changed himself real quick, didn't he?
Mm-hmm.
So they called it a catch on the field. It was a key third down. It might have been that last Lions drive before Rodgers got the ball back. Fourth quarter, running back catches the ball out of the flat. Before he gets to the third step, it sort of slips out of his hands as he's trying to tuck it, and they called it a catch on the field. Perry looked at it on replay before they went to commercial and said, I like this as a catch.
Yep.
The Packers, you know, challenged it, and they won the challenge, but that one could have gone either way. I still don't know what that was.
I thought it wasn't a catch. And, you know, and then Perry coming back, he's like, oh, that was a good reversal.
I like this reversal. I'm like, well, what happened to you? Yeah, that caught me too. But this is all new. We didn't have this, you know, you young bucks. You don't know what it was like before. This didn't exist before. The call was made. It was close. It might have gone your way. It might not have. But you moved on to the next play, and you didn't have this hand-wringing the next day. Because replay has taken us down this rabbit hole.
It does. It leads you to dwell on it.
Sean and Marbo, what are your thoughts?
Hey, guys. I watched like 4 to 5 games yesterday because the NFL ruined my Thursday and Sunday by having these stupid Thursday night games. So what happened to, like, on every play you could call any offensive or defensive lineman, but they just let most of it go? The other thing, like, every play, someone's arguing. If there's a flag, the offense is arguing. If it's the other way, the defense is arguing. But the worst play of the weekend wasn't the Trey Flowers calls. It was the Jarvis Landry call.
Oh, yeah. The worst. That was unbelievable.
He planted his feet. The defender ran head first into him, shoulder to shoulder hit. Perfect textbook block. And they called blocking
Sean,
in the back.
But do you know why? No, they called a blindside block. Do you know why they called a blindside block? Because in the offseason, the competition committee went to the refs and said, we're going to crack down on crackback blocks and blindside blocks and blocks where you're facing your own end zone. So an already incompetent referee crew was given yet another point of emphasis to look for blindside blocks or these kind of crackbacks against defenseless would-be tacklers. And so Jarvis Landry gets flagged yesterday for something that was a completely clean and innocuous football play. We talked about this yesterday. Again, I go back to that point of emphasis. They put it in these refs' heads to do it, and they can't. The refs aren't qualified to handle all the little points that they're putting in their head. They're just not capable of doing it. Peter in Salisbury. Hi, Peter.
The point is they're ruining the game. Felger, you just hit it on the head. Back in the 70s, you didn't have this. You didn't have these replays, and it's ruining the game. The Dallas Jets game.
Okay, your phone is just not...
Oh, God, awful.
My proposal is to... I've been on this for a while. No replay. Kill it. End it. End all replay. It's never going to happen because we keep getting worse. It keeps going more things added to replay as opposed to subtracted to replay. But if in my perfect sports world, wipe it all out. No replay on anything.
See, I don't mind the idea of it being the egregious call, a boundary call. You know, yes, he did get his feet in. No, he didn't. Stuff like that. Once you start getting to the judgment calls, forget it. All bets are off. There's no way to know. And again, so this is the part where I agree with both of you that they're asking the officials. These guys are making judgment calls in a split second on stuff you can't even see until you slow it down to a ridiculous speed.
I mean, I keep going back to the NBA thing. NBA officiating sucks. Well, what do you want them to do? They're giant, 7-foot-tall, 250-pound behemoths throwing themselves at each other in a little 3-foot-wide paint on every play. What are they supposed to... How do you possibly call that correctly?
Just do your jobs better.
You can't. It's impossible. It's impossible. Will in Weymouth. Go ahead, Will. Will!
First off, hey.
You're on the air. Go.
Thank you. I just want to say that call was definitely cheesy, both of them, but it's too common now for us to just focus on the refs and ignore the fact that Rodgers is out there getting screwed by little 10 Darius Shepard handing the ball over to the Lions. The Lions can't punch it in for a touchdown to save their ass, and Alan Lazard is catching touchdowns. It's completely over-scripted.
Completely overscripted. I don't quite get that.
Me, I don't know what he's getting at either. Look, there were a
lot of... Who's more to blame for the loss, the Lions or the refs?
Lions.
Bedard?
Yep, Lions, absolutely.
Lions.
Yeah, 60-40 Lions.
Why? State your case. Bedard, why more on the Lions?
Well, what I laid out before. I mean, they kicked 5 field goals and then couldn't get the Packers even to third down. Forget off the field with under 6 minutes left. And Matt Patricia had to know what the deal was. You knew that Aaron Rodgers was coming for you. Some way, somehow, you needed to throw a wrinkle at him. You needed to do something, and he just had nothing for Rodgers. They didn't get him to third down on that final drive until there were less than 2 minutes left in the game. That's pathetic defense.
I'll tell you the one I loved. Third down. You stop Green Bay, but what did they have, 12 men on the field? What was it?
On the field goal.
Oh, my gosh.
12 men on the field goal.
Oh, my gosh. And they give them the ball back, and they score a touchdown. You donkeys. How do you have...
Yeah, it was the refs.
Oh, my God. That one was... Talk about letting them back in the game.
And they were in formation, lined up, ready to rush the kick. You know, they had no idea they had 12 men.
Oh, my God. Like, that's when I looked at... I was just about... At that point, I think I tweeted, wow. The Lions look pretty good. I think Patricia's actually doing a good job at this team. Then they had 12 men on the field for the field goal.
So that was, you know, that one I marked. But in general, I thought the Lions were the more prepared, better coached team last night.
Yeah. I thought the Lions looked pretty good overall.
They were ready to go, and the Packers were still hungover from that Dallas thing, reading the press clippings. Aaron Jones fumbles, drops an easy touchdown. He was reading his press clippings. The Packers were not ready to go. The Lions were ready to go, better coached, better prepared. And
oh, and I loved their game plan. And they came out whipping the ball down the field.
Nice game plan.
The Jones fumble, the Jimmy Graham drop pass. They were dropping balls all over the place, Green Bay. Detroit was the better team last night.
Detroit hurried it up a couple times as the game went on. Packers could not deal with it defensively. They weren't ready to go. They had to call a timeout on one. The Packers had 13 men on the field on one of these plays when the Lions on third down started going quick, quick tempo, quick huddle. The Lions were the better coach, more prepared team last night.
How many men on the field?
13. The Packers had 13. Never mind 12 on the field goal. The Packers on one defensive set had 13, and the refs didn't notice it.
What's the rule?
It's 11, so they were plus 2 on that one. So we'll continue with your thoughts on this. We have Greg Bedard's 3-up, 3-down from last Thursday. We'll do it quick. And Bedard, in general, on the state of the Patriots offense, he had a boy, did he have a rip job of the Patriots over the weekend on Boston Sports Journal. We'll get to all this after Murray's update.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
Now, it's time for 3-up.
Dives to the end zone. Touchdown, Patriots.
Nice call.
And 3-down.
I don't even understand the call. You're trying to go vertical on 3rd and 4. I'd rather run him on a slant with his size.
With Greg Bedard of BostonSportsJournal.com. 3-up.
And the Patriots have won their 6th Super Bowl title.
3-down.
He blows.
Here on Felger and Mez.
Okay, game was last Thursday, so we won't spend a ton of time. I just want the 3-up, 3-down in mass, and then we'll get to Bedard's assessment of the Patriots' offense, which is not pretty. Boy, did he take them down over the weekend in Boston Sports Journal. But anyway, he has his clipboard courtesy of Scott in Maine. We'll get to that in a second, Bedard. 3-up, 3-down. Who are the 3 stars in that game? Give it to me in mass, please.
Stephon Gilmore, Kyle Van Noy, and Jacoby Myers.
Jacoby Myers.
For what he was asked to do in that game, he was really good in that game.
Okay, I wonder if Tommy Boy agrees, but Gilmore and Van Noy, more great defense.
And did I call it last week, you know, when we talked about it, he had been struggling, and I said, wait till there's a primetime game, he'll be off the charts. This is just, if the lights are on, Gilmore's on, and he was awesome.
Who are your 3 stars, Mass?
Gilmore, Edelman, Jonathan Jones. I thought Jones was good, even though he gave up the touchdown, he was right there. The rest of the game, he was good, and, you know, without Edelman, they were screwed in that game.
Okay, who are the 3 duds, Greg?
Ryan Izzo, Ted Karras, Shaq Mason.
So,
you know, Pro Football Focus had Ted Karras as their center of the week. I'm sorry, completely disagree. He wasn't great in this game. This is the same outfit that knocks Joe Tooney also. They're not seeing what I'm seeing. And I know that they are limited in what they can do offensively because of Karras' lack of athleticism. And I love Ted Karras, and he's fine pass blocking. But run blocking, he can't get on the linebackers, and they can't run screens with him. And it's killing him.
Maz was last week, they can't block, they can't block, they can't block. Your 3 duds are blocking tight end, center, guard. They can't block, Greg. Would you agree?
I would agree with that.
Yeah, they can't block. I mean, I went Izzo, Michelle, O-line. Like, I put the whole O-line there. I had a hard time distinguishing between who sucked the most. So that was, for me, they couldn't block, and Michelle wasn't good in this game. I couldn't leave him off.
Bedard in the Boston Sports Journal over the weekend writes, holy hell. That was his lead. Holy hell. That's really all I had left to say after rewatching the Patriots' offensive performance in their victory over the Giants. It was as bad as you thought watching it live. Bedard writes, I've never really seen anything like it from this outfit. What? He said, in my own mind, it rivaled. The only game that really rivals it, in my own mind, writes Bedard, was the Kansas City Massacre in 2015. The game where Jimmy Garoppolo came in. Yeah, Bedard says, it was so bad, I now have to invent statistics to quantify how bad it was. And then he comes up with something called failed play percentage. You can read that for your own. But Bedard, why was it so bad? What's the problem?
Well, I mean, look, they are shorthanded. Let's just say they started shorthanded on offense. And then Johnson goes out. Lacoste goes out. So all of a sudden, now you have Ryan Izzo has to basically play two positions, and he's not even good at one of them. And it's no fault of his own. I mean, I give him credit because there was a goal line play where he actually grabbed his right knee. He got rolled up on it. Looked like it was going to be serious. He stayed, played the whole game, tried to give him any sort of blocking that he could, and he couldn't get it done. And, you know, they just are very, very limited in what they can do now.
So Bedard wrote, you know, the problems in order. Number one was center. And it's really Karras' ability to get to the second level on running plays has really hurt their running game. Your number two biggest issue was a dependable fullback. Your number three was a dependable, healthy tight end who can block. And you said they have to go get someone. They absolutely have to go get someone. And since you wrote that, they've brought Ben Watson back and signed this Tomlinson.
Tomlinson, okay. Big, huge blocking tight end.
So they've signed a couple blocking tight ends. They would agree. Here's what Bedard wrote on Ryan Izzo and his blocking performance. Listen to this. He says, this is not a knock on Ryan Izzo as much as it's an indictment on the health of Matt Lacoste, who could barely walk out of the locker room after the Giants game. This is not a knock on Izzo, he says. Izzo can't be left as the only tight end anymore. He certainly can't be left as the only tight end and fullback, which happened against the Giants and led to the worst blocking performance I've ever seen out of either position. Again, that's not a knock on him.
It's not. Just
if that's not a knock on him, I'd like to see what a knock is.
Look, he is what he is.
The worst blocking performance you've ever seen from a fullback or a tight end.
Yes, correct. Ever. Here in this time, yeah, without question. It'd be like,
but it's not a knock, man.
No, but it'd be like asking Tom Brady to run the wishbone. I mean, it's just not what he does. Ryan Izzo is what he is. He's a smallish tight end / H-back who should maybe clip a guy once in a while, leak out into the backfield, get the ball in the flat, run a little bit.
So
he cannot hold up. Like that sack, the strip sack, is not his fault.
So you blame the coaches?
No. Well, I blame the personnel.
The roster.
I mean, how many more times were they going to go with, okay, we're going to go with Matt Lacoste this week. And five plays into the game, he's out of the game. And then all of a sudden, what Josh McDaniels thought he had, he doesn't have anymore. Now they have to scramble. I mean, it's a complete mess on offense.
So you blame Bill?
Yeah.
I was just trying to help you.
We can get into this. I mean, you know, look, Bill obviously has his reasons. He doesn't tell people what those reasons are, us or in the building. Everybody, you know, he just does what he's going to do. He obviously believes that having the league's best defense is the way for them to win a Super Bowl, sort of like they did last year. I mean, last year's offense wasn't great either.
Sure.
I mean, you even look at all the advanced stats. Last year was a step back. This year is a bigger step back. But you look at the way he constructed this roster. I mean, look at it. How many Pro Bowl level players do they have on defense? And how deep are they? I mean, you're talking about a defense that doesn't even have a use for Michael Bennett. I mean, it'd be like, what, if the Patriots just had a Pro Bowl receiver, a Pro Bowl veteran receiver, just standing on the sidelines during games? Doesn't need him. Doesn't need to go out there. I mean, they are three deep everywhere on defense with Pro Bowlers, guys who have been in the system 3 years. And on offense, hey, Josh, Tom, you got like three people to use. Like maybe.
Do you think Josh and Tom are pissed about it?
I mean.
Yes.
Yeah.
I know. Don't you love these leading questions?
Yeah, oh my God. Well, it's obvious the quarterback is. I mean, that doesn't take Inspector Crusoe to figure that out.
He even talks about it like in his Jim Gray interview. He talks about the defense and how great they are and going up against them in practice. And you just see every practice he must be like, geez, it must be great to have, you know, five deep at outside linebacker where I can't even get one tight end in a game. I mean, that's probably that's what I would be like.
And I wonder if Josh is on the same thing. He's, you know, maybe looking to get back into the head coaching mix, and if he comes out with the 20th ranked offense, you know, I'm just, you know, embellishing there for, you know, the way he's looking at it. And so, I mean, no one else on offense, though, frankly, has the right to be pissed as far as I'm concerned. You know, guys on offense are pissed about this, which is, you know, sort of a rumble that you hear. Like who? Like Sony Michel, I'm sorry, you don't have the right. You
what
just
about
got
Edelman?
Here. Okay, maybe. Yeah, maybe.
No, he has a right to say whatever he wants.
Fine, you're right. Brady, Edelman, McDaniels. Who else? Like the rest of you, pound sand.
I don't know.
Do your job and keep your mouth shut.
I don't know. Bedard would go to bat for Tooney.
Hell yeah. Joe Tooney's the man.
Okay, so we pick up with the offensive issues on this team, mixing in with your calls on last night and the officiating in the league. Long commercial-free segments next.
Michael Felger, Tony Maserati, Felger and...
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
Felger and Mez.
I love it.
You were right, Mez.
I just keep loving it more and more.
Bore my listeners to death.
I finally feel alive.
98.5, the Sports Hub.
Sounds good.
Tom, you watched that game, and Jim Nantz even commented, that was almost unwatchable. There was like six or seven plays in a row where there were penalty markers at a critical time in the game. What do you make when you're watching a game and you just see all these flags being thrown and I know you don't want to get into the specifics, but it's really getting to be a problem in the NFL. And you talked about it a little bit earlier in the season.
Well, yeah, again, I think as a spectator, a fan of the sport, you know, I'm someone that, you know, I do love watching those games. And, you know, people make comments. I've made a comment, I don't know, one that was Thursday night game. And, you know, because I want to see it played at its best. I want to see it play at its highest level. And I know the referees have a very difficult job, and especially with the advent of, you know, the criticism that they face from, you know, social media, it's a pretty difficult task to put them in too. And they're watching for a lot of things. So it's just the nature, I think, of what we're all dealing with these days, the hyper scrutiny of every single thing that everyone's doing. And in some ways, it's a little bit challenging. You know, it's just pretty much what we're all dealing with in today's day and age. And in some ways, it's a little bit unfortunate.
That's Brady with Jim Gray on the officiating. Yeah, replay and social media, bad combination.
But again, that one's also kind of loaded because, again, the answer's in the question. Because Brady sent out that tweet, I think, to try to affect the product, and it worked for a little bit, but then they went back to, you know, throwing flags in every single other play. So it's these GD refs are ruining the game, Tom, and making it unwatchable. Doesn't it frustrate you that they haven't listened to your tweet and stopped throwing flags,
right,
Tom?
And then he gets to play the good guy. Yeah. Well, they have a hard job to do and all the scrutiny, and we all do, yeah. So exactly, the answer's in the question. But it's all up to the league. The league asks these refs to emphasize certain things, so the refs are emphasizing them. They're just doing as they're told. And if, you know, and Rich McKay and Todd Vincent were just, apparently there's an owner meeting right now, you know, a quarter owners meetings. I say quarter, I don't know what that means, but they're like a little minor owners meetings with the competition committee meeting. And if the competition committee wants to get together and tell the refs to lay off, they'll lay off. And the flags will go back in the pocket. And they only came out of the pocket because the league told them to start throwing flags on this stuff. So that's why I keep going back to that. Back to your phones. You've been waiting patiently. Steve in Tewksbury. Go ahead, Steve.
Hey, guys, thanks for taking the call. Hey, last night's game, you missed an obvious offensive hand to the face on that second call. And you guys are assuming that he would have made that field goal. How many field goals were missed this weekend, an extra point? Hey, Matt, why don't you Google it?
Yeah, there were a bunch. So if they hadn't called the second hands to the face,
yeah, Matt,
they were at the 16. So that's a 34-yard field goal.
It's an extra point.
Yeah, so Crosby's percentage there is 90% or something on extra points. So that's what the percentages would have been. So this whole thing, the Booger McFarland call, where he says, you know, the second one cost him the game, is a little bit of a leap because the Lions were now out of timeouts. There was a minute and 30 left, and they would have been down a point with no timeouts, a minute 30 left, getting the kickoff. Now, that's plenty of time to get into field goal range. Prater was kicking the hell out of the ball in this ball game. So they had a decent chance and to go down the field and line up for field goal. But that's still supposing that they would have done that, which, you know, again, that's the only problem with the Booger McFarland call.
I thought the Lions, if you really look at it, lost the game in the first half. They had the chance to blow doors early. They really did, to put Green Bay away, and they didn't do it.
Here's Sharon in Longmeadow. Hi, Sharon.
Hi. Yeah, I'm calling about the penalties on Monday night's game. You guys are, like, blaming the victim for getting raped.
What? That's a Sharon, that's a little strong.
No, the penalties, those two penalties, I believe, cost the Lions the game. The sack, I mean, they were, what, going to lose the ball? All of a sudden they've got the ball because of penalties to the face. Then the last call, on top of that, you're also making excuses for the refereeing. I mean, it's terrible. I'm not going to go through the whole, you know, officiating, but I believe those two things just looked really bad. It looks like a fix. 13 men on the field, and they can't count that.
That was bad.
I guess they can't count. But they managed to count 12 for the Lions. And if you look on, this is from Beadle and Zoe, penalty, NFLpenalties.com, the Packers have gotten over 500 yards given to them through penalties. They're the highest in the league.
That's every year. That happens every year because Rodgers gets people to jump, and he throws a lot of pass interference balls down the field. Some years, that's their offense.
Yeah, no question it's their offense.
Just chucking the ball down the field and
absolutely.
Getting PI calls.
And him drawing people off sides.
Yeah.
A lot of times, those
it's
are
not biased.
That's their best play. Their best third and four play is Aaron Rodgers drawing someone off
correct.
Sides.
And he keeps it alive, and there's, you know,
yes.
holding. Yeah.
So that's true, too. They got a huge break last night. My point is on the second one. On the second one, it's the ump throwing the flag. Okay, the white hat is the ref. He's to the right of Aaron Rodgers. There's the ump to the left of Aaron Rodgers, which is where Trey Flowers is rushing against Bakhtiari. On the previous series, the same ump watched the same matchup, and when Trey Flowers put his hand on top of Bakhtiari's shoulder pads, he called a hands of the face. And on the very next series, Trey Flowers did the exact same thing. And I think part of that has to be on, is if this is victim shaming, then so be it. You've got to know, you know, do business is being done. They're calling this thing like a fungus across the league. Bakhtiari is selling the play like he did the first time. He's embellishing. And the ump is standing right there. It's not like you're on the opposite side of the guy that just flagged you. You're right in front of him. So do you need to have your hand up there above his shoulder pad there? I mean, that's a little bit on him. He's got to be a little smarter about that. I know that if he were still with the Patriots when he went back to the sidelines, someone would go to him and say, listen, we're doing business is being done. Watch out there.
Right. If they're calling it, don't do it again.
Just, I mean, so a little bit it is on him.
So, look, I mean, again, I looked at it the other way as if to say, you know, that was borderline the first time and you called it again. And I sort of operate under the assumption that the officials looked at it and said, in retrospect, they shouldn't have called it. And then he did it again. But, you know, again, when you weigh it out that way, I heard the referee say the hand to the neck area.
So that is hands to the face. They include the neck area.
I know. Yep. So I did. I looked up the rule. And it does say neck in there.
It does.
It does.
So when you put your hand and clamp it on top of the guy's shoulder pads and then sort of driving into the... Look, I don't think it should have been the call, but I'm telling you, they told the refs to emphasize it. He's putting his hand there. That lineman is helping the call. And you do it again? I don't know. If he were a Patriot, I'd be on him a little bit today saying, you sure. got to be smarter than that. That's all. Victim shaming. Jason in New Hampshire. Go ahead, Jason.
Well, hey, Trey Flowers wanted to be a national player, national figure. There you go.
Why? Because he left the Patriots?
Well, I mean, because he definitely got more money with being with the Lions.
Yeah. Yeah.
But my point is, I think there was a penalty, but I think it was the wrong penalty. I mean, he's not just got his hand on that shoulder pad, and I'm not excusing what the ref did, but isn't he holding? He's clamping that shoulder pad at Bakhtiari. I don't think that's hands to the face. Absolutely it's not, but it is holding.
Mm-hmm.
Isn't that holding?
Yeah, they weren't preventing him from going anywhere. No, you got to allow that sort of hand play.
Are we
going
to do this?
It's a ticky-tack call. It's a ticky-tack call.
He got what he deserved because he left us.
Exactly. There's that. Oh, he must not care about winning.
Oh look,
he's a loser.
I think if you go by the letter of the law, again, the hands to the face rule includes the neck.
Yes.
So if you go
and
by the letter of the law.
He took his hand and he jammed it almost into his Adam's
yeah,
apple.
Yeah, I mean, if you go by the letter of the law, I think they called it right. And the other thing is they allow grabbing in between the, you just can't reach on the outside and grab. You can grab on
yeah,
the inside.
Right. That's right.
You can grab inside the shoulders.
Okay, so Aaron Rodgers got a big break last night, but he does deserve credit for one thing. And I do just want to talk about it. And I think there is a little bit of a rub off there on the Patriots situation. So you'll hear Aaron Rodgers here coming back off the top of the hour in his post game with ESPN, which got me thinking about some things. But first, the update here from Murray. There were some Patriots moves today. A prominent player missing from practice today as well down in Foxborough. Details right here. No commercials. And then we're back.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top five Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.